The gracious Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was requested, asked that, O Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, on the day of judgment, most significant, greatest, highest ranked ibadah, which one will it be? Subhanallah. Very big question. And this hadith is present in Jami' Rasul. First thing we need to understand here is that what is Qiyamah? Qiyamah. The reality of Qiyamah is not hidden. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran Hakim, the noble Quran, clearly has mentioned Qiyamah. There is no bigger event than Qiyamah with regards to the hereafter, and no human being who has been created, born, nobody will be free from that phase, that time. Everyone has to pass through Qiyamah, every form of creation. This is not optional. This is not an event or something, a factor that, okay, fine, khair, no problem, we'll pass through there. Oh, this will not happen to me. This is a very big reality. You know, death, just like death and the grave, after that is Qiyam, the day of judgment. And this is the definition of Iman. Faith. Faith, this is the meaning of Iman. Remember this. And strong Iman, that the more a person, his faith increases and strengthens, then that becomes his Aqeedah. His conviction. After Iman comes what? Aqeedah, belief, factors. Then a person gets strong on that Aqeedah. He develops the Aqeedah. But the conditions and circumstances of a person, they affect him very much so. The gracious Prophet says, and that's why he said that as the days and years get further away from me, then people's mindsets will change. Fitna, fasad, disorder will increase. Shaitan and nafs will increase in their strength and they will influence. And the people of Iman will be present. But what will happen? The aqaid will be very weak. Iman will be very weak from those words that are all truthful. Now when from our hearts the importance of this comes out, Qiyamah is just Qiyamah. Maut, death, yeah, maut is just okay. End of story. But, yeah, but if we look on the other hand, it's a massive reality today, from today. If I think about my family, and I look about my home in which I spent my life, mashallah, even today that scene is in front of me, my family scene. When I see, how many years will have passed since then? And we were 13 members in the household, children, grandfather, grandmother, father. It was a big building. There were three floors, big house, alhamdulillah. We had land. We're landowners, and everyone had his own room, and there was a life. 13 people living in that big house, 16 rooms in the house, detached baths, etc. Attached baths. So what I'm telling you is this is the reality of the human being. And then if I close my eyes and look back and think that I arrive back there now, to that same home I go, obviously that's gone now, we've left that. And if I go to that house, what's happened here? Those 13 people, only 4 are visible, and even they are on their mattresses. 9 people have disappeared from the household. So tell me, when I go into the house, I'll say, where's he gone? Where's grandmother? Where's father? Where's sister? Where's brother? Where's chachaji, uncle? Everyone's gone, disappeared. And we see that only 4 people remain, elderly. They're in the line to depart. So that's the case. But insan, his situation, waswasa, and the influence, and it shows that the environment overwhelms a person, influences him, and then he forgets his reality, where he's going. So, Qiyamah is such a reality. Allah Ta'ala, how he's clearly explained in the verses, those people who have the reformed hearts, their bodies tremble when they arrive to those verses, and they start to have fear. and awe about Qiyamah, what will happen. If you look at the verses in the hadith, but we listen to this as a story and we don't have any concern. So this is the reason that we go to the friends of Allah. That's the objective, so that in our hearts, the freshness of Iman can arrive. Such a feeling can arrive. That's what Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran. That the biggest alim is he in whose heart there's the khashiyat. The biggest alim, his praise has been mentioned. The biggest alim is he in whose heart there's khashiyat. Yes, there's fear. Not the Bukhari or Mu'tamar Malik, etc. Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran, these are verses of the Quran regarding the learned people. Allah says the biggest alim is that person in whom khashiyat has entered, khawf, fear. Because of fear, if it has entered somebody, then with it doesn't, he cannot even halt a second for the preparation. Preparation for what? For where he is meant to go. Say Subhanallah. Subhanallah. Tell me, this is the Quran of Allah that is saying this. The people, the learned people, yakhsha, the fear. Is this not a verse? But for us, our basis has changed. Yes, our approaches to everything has changed, altered. Think about it. So fear, if we don't have fear in the heart, khashiyat, don't have fear of Allah, then that body is a waste. That dhikr is a waste. Remember this, if there's no fear or khashiyat in that action. Until dhikr, if inside you and me, if dhikr does not develop khashiyat within you, then it's not benefiting us. Remember this. Remember this. Yes, sohbat the shaykh, company of the shaykh, if it doesn't change the heart of that person, then that sohbat, that company is not giving me any benefit. There's something lacking in us. There's not something lacking in that one, the person who's given in my niyyah. There's something lacking in my ikhlas, in my sincerity. There's nothing lacking in dhikr. There's a lacking in me because I don't have sincerity. I don't have that niyyah. I don't have that intention. I'm not doing dhikr with that niyyah. Yes, there's nothing lacking in the Quran. There's no gap in the Quran. The gap is in us. That we touch that Quran, we look at it, we read it, we don't do it in the way we should. This is noor. They are present. The benefits are there. But there's nothing lacking in ilm. There's nothing lacking in Bukhari Sharif. There's nothing lacking in the kitabs. There's something lacking inside us. As the Subhanallah, my husband sahib said, there's nothing lacking in the alim or in the student. There's something lacking in both of them. That is the niyyah, the intention. Ajeeb point. This is a great gathering of the scholars. Muftis were sitting there, great personalities with them. Hazrat Sahib said this. Hazrat Sahib said, just a small statement, and all of them, they were Sufis, that Allah, 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 from all sides, they started saying this, but this was a khanqa, people with pure hearts, big jama'ah of ulama, scholars. Mufti Abdul Sattar Sahib, rahimahullah, what a great Mufti Azam of Khairul Mudaris at that time. He was present in that gathering. Who prayed the Salatul Janaz of Hazrat Sahib. He was present there in that gathering. But the friends of Allah, when they say something, then it's a medicine, a cure. And it makes the hearts alive. The ruh. So if we have this niyyah, I'm going to a friend of Allah, his company, and after I go there and I want to make my heart alive, it cannot be that your heart will not become alive. Cannot be. Yes, if you come with this niyyah, that I want to make my heart alive, I've got defects, big problems, difficulties, worries, I'm surrounded by sins, then Allah says that don't go anywhere. You will not get cure from anywhere. Kunu ma'as sadiqeen, Allah says. Kunu ma'as sadiqeen. Make niyyah, correct your intention. Hazrat Sahib said this, that if there's nothing lacking in the, there's lacking in the alim and the student because they don't have the niyyah. If their niyas were correct, what did they become? Subhanallah. Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal, Imam Abu Hanifa, Imam Ahmad, Imam Shafi, Imam Malik, they used to read these kitabs, they read fiqh and jurisprudence. What was the difference? That such words came from the beautiful statement of the waliyallah and the ulama, they trembled, but that's what we need, is the niyyah. How can it be? The Quran has announced that if there's no fear in your ilm, then that person is not an alim. The heart is the fountain. The correct the heart from that. This should be a niyyah. That everything that we are attaining, doesn't matter which form we are attaining it in, every amal that we are implementing, we are reading Quran, reciting Quran, whatever action we are performing, ilm you are attaining, whatever you're attaining, the objective should be just one. That in my heart, I need to develop the fear of Allah. This is the, you can say, peak. this is the summary, the essence. If you don't have fear in the heart, you're not successful in the akhirah, because if you don't have fear in the heart, then the grave for you is nothing, death for you is nothing. For you, 2 + 2 = 4, shop, money, wealth, whatever he sees in front of his eyes, that's all he'll see. Behind that, nothing at all, empty, doesn't even know there's something after that. Yes, his hisab is 2 + 2 is this, what's this, and mathematically, he says 2 + 2, he was hungry, what's 2 + 2? He said 4 chapatis, and this is not the answer, and this is our hal, that apart from temporary materialistic things, it's overwhelmed us, overtaking us, that even if we do the work of the deen, first we'll look at the money, that what's the benefit I'm getting from doing this action. Yes, and if we're accepting a certain status, even a deeni action, we'll see first, what's the benefit for me behind this? How much can I receive for this? What will be the resources that I will use for this? How much dunya can I make? How many resources can I attain? So this is the thing that's spoilt. Those things are the same. The nur is there, present within them. They cannot change. They are sparkling and glowing. Even today, those who want to attain, they are. From hundreds and thousands, there'll be one. But even then, he is present there today. And that he is attaining the same ilm. And he's an alim just like that, full of khashiyat and fear. There's a dhakir like that today. There's a recite of the Quran like that today as well. That's everywhere we see, there are people who have that. So the discussion regarding qiyamah, Allah's Nabi says some such a great hadith, big message, the first subhanAllah after this, a person, he should rejoice, be happy. That for example, if you read up about qiyamah, how severe is qiyamah, you read the hadith, then it should be such that for example, you have thrown water over the fire, that's how much you will sleep with comfort after that. That's how much comfortable sleep you'll attain when you understand the reality. We've seen people die, but our iman is there. We don't have aqeedah. Yes, because beyond iman is aqeedah, and we don't have aqeedah with that we're going to die. Brothers, sisters, father, uncle, tell you everything, we see everyone departing, but we don't believe that we are also going to die. We are also going to see the hereafter. Where are we going to go? Where are we not going to go? We just have worry and concern about dunya. To this extent, even after dying, the biggest hurt we have is quickly, what's my share in that deceased person's inheritance? How much money will I get? Oh, leave him, he's gone. This car's mine, this shop's mine. How much will I get? What's my share? Today in the dunya, this is our function. Mother is dying and they're fighting over her bangles. I'm not telling you a story that they're fighting over her ring and her bangles on her hand. They haven't even come off her wrist yet. Imagine what kind of people are and what will be their hal on the day of Qiyamah. Why has this happened? For this reason. For this reason. Because we have changed the direction of the khanqas. The khanqas, we've left attending them. The friends of Allah, the sohbat has ended. The friends of Allah, there's a drought today. And this is what's happened in the dunya. Until the khanqas were existent, the walis of Allah were present. Subhanallah. The hearts of the human beings remained alive. And this today, this is a wali of Allah. His miracle that today in the night, we are doing dhikr of Allah in the third part of the night. When I prayed salah and I looked around, I thought that maybe after today, after Isha, there'll be late dhikr, maybe 10-15 people be here. I said, Subhanallah. My Sheikh's status, that how his fares is distributed. There are thirsty people today, and there are people who can quench their thirst, and they will remain until Qiyamah. It's not the case that this system has ended. Yes, this will happen. That from hundreds of thousands, look how big is this town, so many people live here. But Allah Ta'ala selected those people that know. For dhikr, people will come, arrive, sit. You carry on doing your work. Subhanallah. Who has brought them? Who's brought me and you? Tell me. Subhanallah. Allah has brought us. And what has Allah Ta'ala sincerely brought us for? For what, brothers? For dhikrullah. Remembrance of Allah. There's one brother here from far, he's come. People come from outside, other areas, surrounds. Yeah, people have come from outside here, haven't they? Yes. And the people who live close by, they'll run off. They don't know. What's happened? What's going on? Quickly run away. What's about to happen? Is this something to leave? And what is this gathering? So regards to Qiyam, the Day of Judgment, the Sahabi asked, yes, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, may my mother and father be sacrificed, a sign, the Qiyamah's day, nothing else. They knew that there's no greater, more severe day than Qiyamah. The biggest issue will be on the day of Qiyamah. The most heat that heat can imagine, you can let off thousands of atoms bombs, but they will not release the heat and the temperature that will be on the Day of Judgment. The Hadith and Quran tell us this. Tell me, if this 100 degrees today, 80 degrees will go mad. Where's the air conditioning? Where's the fan? Oh, where will the fans come that day? There will be fans that day. There will be fans, such cool fans that you cannot imagine on that day. Cool fans. Those fans switch, today's present. If today you put those switches on for those fans, I swear by Allah, today's switch, when you'll arrive there, then from here you will press that switch and the fan will come on the Day of Judgment. Here today in this world we're living in, that's why they're asking, that's why the Sahabi asked, that Allah Ta'ala has given us this world for this reason, that those words I'm about to tell you regards to Qabr, grave and Qiyamah, today if you prepare for that, then that will be a holiday place for you. On the Day of Judgment. What place? That in the world, for example, you can't get the example of the heat of the Day of Judgment. In the world, you can't get the example of darkness of the Day of Judgment in the world. Even if it's the worst darkness here, we cannot imagine, but the hereafter's darkness, there are no words to describe the darkness intensity in the Day of Judgment. The Quran says, أَلْهَاكُمُ التَّكَاثُرُ حَتَّى زُرْتُمُ الْمَقَابِرُ. You cannot understand Allah saying, I'm just giving you an example. The sweat, how much sweat will be there on the Day of Judgment? We don't know. So much sweat. The example will be given that a man will be drowning in his sweat. And that situation, if you are on a holiday in terms of your mentality, there will be people on holiday on that day. Those who do amal on this hadith today, subhanAllah, they'll be on holiday that day. Severity of Qiyamah, by how Allah Ta'ala will give them the release. We are listening because Allah Ta'ala loves us. That's why we're here. Why does Allah Ta'ala love us? Because we love the dhikr of Allah. So Allah loves us. فَذْكُرُونِي أَذْكُرْكُمْ Allah says, remember me, I'll remember you. And I've shared that with you, inshallah, taqwiyat will come and niyat will come. Do you make niyat, inshallah, brothers? Yes. So we shouldn't waste such things if Allah Ta'ala has given us this. You come from so far, you've traveled, you've left your work. I don't know what other discussions and friends and family you've left. Yes, and biggest thing, the shaitan who's in the house, you've left that and you've come, even that's a big sacrifice you've given. You left the biggest thing, shaitan in the home, and come here, such matches will be played, this is mine, she's mine, he's mine. You've left all of that, you've divorced, detached from that fakeness, and you've divorced yourself from the world and come and say, you said I'll give three divorces to that dunya. Why? Because I'm going to Allah. Such things you've left and come to the house of Allah and to Allah's gathering. Will Allah love you? Say subhanAllah, of course. So brothers, such a thing, Qiyamah, the Day of Judgment. So why are you scared? Allah says, why are you afraid? My Habib, from his blessed words, when he's told you something, listen to that, pay attention to that. What do you have to be afraid of? Nothing. The same place about which Allah says, you'll be severe. Yes, challenging. In such severe challenges, everyone be running around. Nobody will know, naked, totally naked on the Day of Judgment. Nobody will know each other, no relatives, no nothing, no association. SubhanAllah, there'll be another scene on the day. People will be celebrating a holiday, enjoying themselves. Yes, the same Qiyamah, they'll be laughing. Oh, it's okay. Yes, imagine these hadith. Why? What did those people do who'll be enjoying themselves? They understood those hadith and started the preparation for Qiyamah. Hadith tells us this, that on the Day of Judgment, Ya Rasulullah Sallam, the highest, what a great question. He didn't say, oh, tell us an amal. What? Tell us the greatest deed. The Sahaba wanted to know the highest peak. That we want to go to Jannah where you will be. Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, how can we leave you, Ya Rasulullah? That here, if we could not leave your blessed face, that we cannot imagine that we'll leave you there. Tell us that place where you will be. In Jannah we will go. We'll understand Jannah, that where we keep continuing seeing you and do your ziyarah. They were ashiks, lovers, true ashiks and lovers. Yes, they weren't lovers of marches, conferences. They were true lovers, not drama people like us. The bed we cannot keep. We can't do actions. We want to be called ashiks though. Yes? Yani we oppose the Nabi. Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. We oppose the action, the deed that he disliked the most. And kabira sin. He said, I won't even look towards that person's face. These are the words. Those people who've got short trim beards. I'm warning those people about this. That look after. That we will need Allah's Nabi tomorrow. Remember. We will need him. So with this face, read the hadith. That even the angels won't recognize you. Who is this person? What face has he got? What appearance? Oh, leave him. There. That will be the hal of that person. That just over the beard that we cannot even dare. That we four hairs of the beard we can extend by imitating and obeying the Prophet of Rasulullah said. That do this action or like this. So in that house, how can rahmah and mercy come that they are doing the amal of dislike, where Rasulullah, Allah's Prophet, he's rejecting personally that person. He said that they'll pray salah in such a way that they'll oppose you. They'll pass Ramadan through in your position. They'll do dua, but they'll be opposing you, my Prophet. They'll do dhikr, but they'll be sat in the form appearance of opposing you. And they'll be stood there. Do you do tawbah, brothers, or not? Tell me. Tell me. That what's the benefit of doing this action? Tell me, please. Tell me one benefit of the world. Okay, forget deen. Forget akhirah. Tell me one benefit of the world for doing this action that we do. Waste of time, spending money, shaving the face and shaving with a blade. How much time are we wasting? Yes, we're spoiling the sink. Dirty hair spread all over the sink. And hairs everywhere. Tell me one benefit of this action. Tell me. No, because shaitan has said to us, you're fine, you're good. Don't worry, I'm going to drag you into hell. Says shaitan. And we are happy with those amal. There's nothing for us in this world from that amal. One point to remember today, in the hereafter or in this world, dunya. If Allah Ta'ala step back, قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهِ says, I go back and I put my Nabi in front. Allah step back, that I don't need your salah, I don't need ibadah, I don't need your Quran. I step back, Allah says, I'm free from you. I will only be connected to you at that time when you bring my Nabi along with your deeds. Subhanallah. Tell me. This is such a simple fact, we don't even understand this. So what preparation do we do for Qiyamah? Tell me now. We don't even understand this point. And today if we're to die, what mouth will it be? The true, honest individual, those if you understand what I've just said, and then stand in front of Allah, I seek your forgiveness. Allah, we've committed a big sin that your Nabi, we've given him displeasure. That person who doesn't have yaqeen in his heart, he doesn't have an atom's weight of iman. La yu'minuna hatta. That he cannot be a Muslim. How can he be a Muslim, that person who does not love me? Who? He told the whole world. He told the whole world. He said that if I am not more beloved to you than yourself, your parents, and the whole world, how can you say you have iman? If I'm not more beloved to you, la yu'minuna hatta ahabba ilayhi bin nafsi wa waladi wa nasi ajmain. Rasulullah defined this. So do we do tawbah, brothers? This is the benefit of the majlis will come then. Don't put your hands in the hand of shaitan. Don't fall into his trap. Such a big magic that what plant is he giving you to eat that you don't even go towards tawbah with regards to this point. I'm requesting for this reason that zahiran, apparently, visibly, such a sin we are doing. And people, just like a father tells his children, for the sake of Allah, detach yourself from this sin. For the sake of Allah, why do you spoil yourself, your children, and spoil your homes? Why do you destroy your ibadat with this sin? Just extend your beard 4 fingers length. Yes, you have a fist length of beard. I'll see who will take you away, who will fight you or hit you. Such a big magic shaitan's overwhelmed me. And the Quran says that such a black magic shaitan is done on a human being. Yes, we don't understand Quran. He doesn't understand. He doesn't have determination or courage. He doesn't want him to practice. It makes him scared, afraid, he's trembling, shaking. Nayyar, how can I do this? It's too hard for me. Oh no, very bad indeed to think like this. Qiyamah, coming back to Qiyamah. Sahaba Akram said, the Sahabi asked the companion, what is the greatest amal? Not a small amal, tell me the afzal amal. And with afzal, the highest grade, the highest rank of ibadah, he asked the Prophet. That deed, Ya Rasulullah, that gives the highest rank, the highest status, the greatest ibadah. 2 things he asked, requested. That, O Rasulullah, afzal, and the highest rank of ibadah. What will be that on the Day of Judgment? In other words, with that ibadah, that I can get the highest maqam, say Subhanallah. And after that, most of all, when I will get the highest rank and status and level of paradise, tell me that ibadah today, Ya Rasulullah, said the Sahabi. Rasulullah didn't ask, why are you asking? Oh, just for the sake of it. No, this was not the case. Allah's Nabi knew he's asking for this reason so that we can do that ibadah, not waste time. Because they had a qaid, belief that we are going to go to Qiyamah. And we've been told about Qiyamah. So at least there, why should we ask for a small thing? Subhanallah. That we're sat here. And Rasulullah knew that he's not asking for a small thing. Direct discussion was taking place. Alhamdulillah. Why should we ask for a small thing? Give us the big thing. Tell us that ibadah, that worship, that amal, so that we can attain this. So Allah's Nabi says, how happy he must have been that, look at my student, and what love with affection and with love and passion he's preparing for Qiyamah. But this phase did not end. Even today in Bolton, that phase has arrived of the Sahaba, the Sahaba's phase. Yes, Hazrat via Hazrat Ali Murtaza, Qudsi Sirah, via his phase, we've attained this, that you can also practice this. Will you do this, brothers? True promise? Solid practice? You're not afraid, are you? That big amal will be prescribed to you. Rasulullah will tell you such a hard action. Is this the case? So everyone makes a promise? Yes. What a great statement here. That on the day of judgment, you'll be on holiday that day with ease, comfort, and that you will be on the highest maqam, and you will get the maqam due to the highest grade amal. That amal we are being told, and it's being shared with Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, look towards him, and after seeing, look in him, he said, Dhikrullah, Subhanallah, Subhanallah. Glory be to Allah. No other answer apart from that. That this moment in time you're in the world, do one action, O my companion, said Rasulullah. That dhikr of Allah, do this. Adhkuna qiyamun wa qu'udan wa ala junubihim wa yatafakkurun. The Quran says, in this way, just like the Quran is prescribed, yes, yadhkuruna Allah qiyamun wa qu'udan wa ala junubihim, walking, sitting, lying down, sleeping, dhikr of Allah, walking, dhikr of Allah, eating, dhikr of Allah, subhanallah, sitting, dhikr of Allah, you're at your shop, business place, dhikr of Allah, at home, dhikr of Allah. In other words, every moment you should be immersed in the dhikr of Allah. So your Nabi promised to you in this world that you will not get the severity on the day of Qiyamah. It will not be for you. Why? Because dhikrullah is such an action that I'm prescribing to you. The effect of that, Allah Ta'ala has stated that it will give you the highest maqam, the highest of rank, and on the day of judgment you will get this. Subhanallah. So this is, brothers, the dhikr of Allah, the remembrance of Allah. Say subhanallah. So we have no need to be afraid. If we consistently, regularly, steadfastly take this amal and do this action, then if Allah has promised, alhamdulillah, this is what you will attain, then most definitely, end of story. End of story. It's a solid point. So now in here, if we have waswasa of shaitan, whispering, deception, oh, I haven't got this, take these thoughts out of your head, take the tasbih, very simple method. Subhanallah. Allah Ta'ala has prepared for this, for you to do this very easy. Allah Ta'ala has made it for you to do the dhikr. You don't need to work hard. You don't need to do extra effort. Very simple method. That go, if you want to do dhikr, if you want to take hold of dhikr consistently, then go to a person of dhikr and sit with him. That's it. End of story. Yes, I'm hungry. I want to eat a takeaway. So what will a person say? Go to that takeaway and eat the food. I want to cook meat. Where should I go? Go to the butchers and buy the meat and cook it. This is the case, isn't it? Simple formulas. I want to, brother, buy some flour. Where should I go? Okay, go to that shop and buy the flour. So he'll tell you the place to go to, isn't it? So if Allah's Nabi has prescribed that dhikrullah, that will take you to the highest maqam, then Allah Ta'ala said clearly that if you want to learn dhikr, then go to the person of dhikr, the teacher of dhikr, and sit with him. The teacher of dhikr, Allah says, I'll open the shop for you. I'll open the doors for you and show you where that place is. Apart from dhikr, you'll get nothing else at all. There's no dispute there, no masla masail, no other argument, no this, who's he, what's this, he's the obandi, he's that. No masail arguments, splits, and nothing at all. One concern, just one concern, Allah has promised, whoever does dhikr, his aqeedah will be correct. His aqeedah will be correct, his belief will be correct, his amal will be correct. He will be the person who follows the path of haq, because the person who doesn't follow haq, that he cannot influence you. That, for example, if I am on the haq, how can that person have a high rank, darajat? So it's proven here, dhikr of Allah is such an action that insan, human being, totally makes him pure and correct. So what we realize and learn is that Ahlul Dhikr, the teacher of Dhikr, the people of Dhikr, Allah says, if you want to ask somebody a masla, who should you ask? Not the name of the alim. What is mentioned in the Quran, Hafiz, they will know this. Kuntum ta'alamun, Allah says, who should you ask? Ahlul Dhikr. Allah says, go to the Ahlul Dhikr. This is the translation we made, isn't it? The ulama asked the scholars. We've done this translation, but the Quran doesn't say this. What does the Quran say? What are the words? Ahlul Dhikr. If you do not know, fas'alu Ahlul Dhikr. People have written these beautiful points here. Ask the scholar. The alim knows these things, the Muslim Asail. They'll know the knowledge. They'll have the knowledge. The masala, who should you ask the questions? So here the Quran is differentiated in a beautiful way. It's gone into the detail. They ask the alim, who is ahlu dhikr. Who is ahlu dhikr? Ask the alim, but there are two types of alims. One is the dry, barren alim, and he on the other side is the alim who is the dhakir alim. So the alim will give you the right answer is the alim of ahlu dhikr. The dhakir alim will give you the right answer. Say subhanallah. Do you understand this commentary? Do you understand what I'm saying? Yes. Yes. The friends of Allah, I heard from him myself. So such a great action is dhikr, that through dhikr we have proven that the dhakirin people, their aqidah is corrected, their maslak is correct, their ideology is correct, their practice is correct, because they have promised. Yes, Allah will give this maqam high grade, high level reward. So it cannot be that the truthful, honest dhakir, he will be a dhakir when he goes to the proper company of the teacher of dhikr. When that teacher, his aqidah is correct, his amal is correct, his ibadah is correct, through that person who you are learning from, then obviously that will rub off onto you and you'll be correct as well. Say subhanallah. So that's the end of story. So put your hands together. Don't fall into traps of dispute. Why don't you do this? Why do you say this? Why are you doing this? Are you truthful? That you're sat there, whatever you're doing is totally correct. Yes, we're totally, what we're doing is correct, because Allah Ta'ala has promised the ahlu dhikr. Subhanallah. Yes, whatever is lacking us, in us, Allah Ta'ala will fulfill that gap, complete that gap, fill in the gap. Allah will continue to deliver us and take us to the honesty. But when we go to his majlis, then that person, the student, he won't take shortcuts. And the wali, he will sit there and say, this is halal, haram. Hada halal, hada haram. Lawful, unlawful. He will not cheat or take shortcuts, play games. Yes, he will give that nasiha. This is halal, this is haram. So the darvish, that person, he won't take shortcuts and try to contaminate and play games. Straightforward, you're doing haram, come towards halal. Subhanallah. That's the end of story. Now, the situation is that this is the determination we need. So he doesn't take shortcuts. The sheikh doesn't take shortcuts. Oh, no, no, if I tell him the truth, I won't get charity, money from him. If I say the truth to him, he won't return back to the masjid. Or if I say this to him, oh, there'll be dispute, quarrel. He's a wealthy man. How will we attach fans here? And how will we succeed materially? No, 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 I don't want to upset him. If I say the haq to him and then he'll run away, never come back. Oh, I don't want him to be upset. No, no, the wali Allah, the fakir, he says whether a rich person comes or not. If he comes, subhanallah, rich to me, I'll send him back as poor. That's how he thinks. And the poor man, when he comes, I'll send him back as rich in the akhirah, the hereafter. Subhanallah. So this is the reality. Oh, no, no, you don't have to do this. This is haram, halal, that's it. Say the truth, honesty. Correct yourselves. So this is what Rasulullah said, subhanallah. So prepare for Qiyamah properly, and then after that, for those people who prepared, they'll be playing on the day, smiling, laughing. They said, these things we heard about Qiyamah is hard, hisab, kitab, etc. We've come to paradise, have we? He said, you've arrived into paradise, sir. They've bypassed the hisab, kitab. Without hisab, kitab, they will be taken, entered into Jannah. Have you not read? That they will enter into Jannah laughing, the dhakir. Yes, he'll be laughing while he's going into Jannah. You're laughing. So today, let's grab hold of this path, line of dhikr. Do you grab hold of this, brothers? Go to Wali Allah, teacher of dhikr, learn dhikr, explain your hal to him, your condition, circumstances. Sit him, wajahadu fina. Then do mujahada. Strive. Make effort. Wajahadu fina. Lanahdiyannahum subalana. Allah Ta'ala says that when you come to this path, it's your job to work hard. Allah Ta'ala says, then it's my return to you to show you the path. This is the right path. This is the straight path. This is the path of haram. Leave it. Automatically your heart will be guided. That I will not allow you to go towards haram. Your hands, when they go towards haram, Allah has promised, وَجَادُوا فِيهِنَا لَلَهْدِيَنَمْ سُبْلَنَا لَسَسْ. That straight path, take hold of it. Go to a wali Allah, sheikh, teacher and dhikr, and then work hard on that. Make effort. وَجَهَدُوا. What's the mujahida? That staying up and toiling? No, it's something easier than that. That the tasbihat you prescribe, do this much, be regular, steadfast on that, that's mujahada, subhanallah. That's it. That's it. The sheet will be given to you. I speak about myself. And every sheikh has his own tariqah, method, system. Simple point, you go, meet the teacher, and explain to him that I'm afraid of Qiyamah and I want to correct myself, go to a Shaykh with a true niyyah. I want to be reformed, improved, and listen to his words, advice, and practice that the dhikr he prescribes to you, 15 tasbih or 16 tasbih, be consistent. And the definition of mujahidah is to be consistent in what you're prescribed. Because we're living in such a dangerous generation that even shaitan won't let you follow that prescription. No, I'm lazy, I can't do it. This is mujahidah. Morning, evening, dhikr, present yourself. That's mujahidah. That's working hard. How difficult is it for you to do that? You come to Allah's house morning and evening, and return for that, you will, all the severities of qiyamah will disappear from you. Yes, Allah says that I'll guide you. This is mujahidah. And if you can't, Allah's not saying to go to the mountain, leave your wife, leave your children, go into isolation, leave your job, leave your business. Allah's not saying none of this at all. Rather, what is Allah saying? That after this, my rules that will come to you, your business will flourish, your workplace will flourish. I'll give you ease, comfort, bread and food to eat so that you have no difficulty and you can continue to do my dhikr with ease and comfort, Allah says. These are the paths that Allah has promised. I'll open them up for you. So this is consistency, regularity, is that where your shaykh is hosting dhikr, morning majlis, evening majlis, steadfast, regularity, that's the definition of mujahidah. Say subhanallah. Don't take shortcuts, banking off, sometimes you come, sometimes you don't come, you turn, then Allah will give to you according to that. Then Allah will say, draw the line, this man, he's not following the path, and he's just an empty aubergine, and he's just running after the dunya. Come, just like you go to your shop, you run after work, morning, evening, you go, don't you? Come and go, what do you get from there? Just an envelope. End of the month, after which then you buy chickens and eat and go to the toilet and pass the stool. You think you've earned a lot. Nothing. Allah says, come in morning, evening, 30 minutes in morning, 30 minutes in evening. And Allah says, on the day of judgment, I will take all the severities away from you. What a comparison. Will you come, brothers? Yes, I'm just reminding you every week. Every week, but it's for you to react, alhamdulillah. Yes, that don't look where am I from. However far you come from, the more thawab you'll get. Remember this. Yes, now if you're coming from Liverpool, we're going in the morning, I'll pray Salah there in the masjid. Are you mad going there for Salah? Can't you go down there? Masjid there? He said, that's your path. That's masjid for me there. Because that's where I'll get success. That's the real good news that will come to me from there. From the action I'm going there. Subhanallah. You say, Yaar? You say, I'm going. 200 miles people travel. As a Fazal al-Quraysh, they said, 200 miles I used to travel to my Shaykh. Hazrat Sirajuddin Damani, rahmatullahi alayhi. And he asked, have you arrived, Fazal? He said, yes, I've arrived. He said, sit down then over there. Yes, langar, food has ended, you got water to drink. How many days he was hungry? He said, there, go, sleep, lie down. Hazrat said, I used to walk. 3 days I walked in between. There was a big river, Sindh, the river. It's equivalent to the ocean. You haven't seen it, I'm the person who lives from there. We used to cross that river, Sindh, with the boat. Yes, it's a river, but it's like a sea. We used to go across the boat. A ship used to sail across. I've sailed on that myself. Hazrat Sahib, my Sheikh, would travel from his village, Gadai Sharif, walking. And the instruction of his Sheikh was, how dare you in the way? Don't ask anyone for food or bread and eat anything, asking anybody. No, if you got anything yourself, he said, I used to cook some chickpeas. This is how we learned the name of Allah that I'm teaching here today. That was their struggle. Hazrat used to go from Gadai Sharif. And he worked hard, and imagine Hazrat Sahib's maqam today. Tell me, once I saw him in Jannah, Subhanallah, top class Jannah he was sat in. Yes, his whole family was with him. Subhanallah. Yes, and I shake his hand and I presented myself and he gave me hukum as well. What Jannah Hazrat Sahib must be in? I saw Hazrat Sahib, why are you sat enjoying yourself? Beautiful, enjoyable, it's there in my eyes, I can see that scene. Subhanallah. Just a few days of hardship, brothers, in this world. He did amal on this, actually understood the hadith. Save yourself from these actions and take all of dhikr. That's it. And dhikr will teach you salah, tahajjud, Quran, how to recite it, make you an alim, give you fear of Allah. Everything dhikr will develop within you, which will elevate you on the day of judgment. Because Allah has promised. Not that you will do it, you won't get nothing. No. Allah says, all those ibadat Allah will develop, enable you to do through dhikr of Allah. When you came to me, first of all, did you used to pray tahajjud? Did you pray ishraq at that time? That I said, oh, it's too hard for me. Now quickly people go in the morning, they do dhikr, and it's become a routine of your life now, isn't it? Could you wear imamah before you came and visited? Huh? Could you wear imamah? Tell me. But you know, when they're small hearts, tight hearted, you have desire, but shaitan, you're in his trap. SubhanAllah, when they come, immediately they're reformed. corrected. They take courage. Ah, be gone with you, O shaitan. I've come now into the path. That's the real reaction. So one thing Allah will say, Sibghatullah, Allah has mentioned in the Quran, a great word. Allah says in the Quran, there's no color better than the color of Allah. What is that color? The color of Allah. Because Allah Ta'ala has no, you cannot have any description of Allah. So if you want to see my color, then look at the sunnahs of my Habib sallallahu alaihi wasallam. My color, if you want to see it, then look at the effects of my awliya Allah, their ways, and that's where you'll see my color. So our job is that when we go, immediately embrace the way of your sheikh into your lifestyle. From far, people to recognize you, that you, are you linked with that sheikh? Are you connected to that sheikh? This is what happens, isn't it? You go into the marketplace, you're walking around the shopping center. Oh, are you connected to that sheikh? How did you know, my friend? I'm just walking. Oh, I can see that you are connected. That's when there's success. Today, the world, if they recognize you, then on the day of judgment, then the angels will recognize you in paradise. So all of this, these are words, a systematic way the Quran has told us, a syllabus. We follow that syllabus, study it, then nothing's hard, alhamdulillah. No grave is hardship, mouth is not hard. Rather, death, will you be in love with your death at that time? Quickly, let me get through the death, or I need to get to the hereafter. And it's success, the dhakireen, this is how they will be at the time of death. So, that's working hard. It's not working when you didn't come. Did you know how to pray tahajjud? Oh, tahajjud's too hard. Praying shuruq, salah, ishraq, it's too hard. It was hard, isn't it, at that time? But when you came to dhikr, and now how easy those actions would become for you? So easy, those same hard things. Tahajjud, pray tahajjud, do this and that, x, y, z, tasbihat, morning, evening, and majlis, and dhikr was too hard for me. People think like this, too much to do. But for you, subhanAllah, on your fingertips. Nothing at all, so easy. Wow, it's not hard getting up in the morning. That's a piece of cake, isn't it? So what's this? Dhikr of Allah brings you to that point. Yes, with your eyes you're seeing that how easy Allah makes it. Because Allah's promise in the Quran, وَجَهَدُوا, you work hard and I will show you the path, how to pray tahajjud. Oh, it's for me to wake you up, Allah says. I'll bring you to my dhikr, Allah says. And you just have be determined. So do you all make niyyah? Yes. Come pray salah here. So just make a system of your life like this. In the morning, I'm going to wake up, pray salah. I'm going to go and sit with my sheikh and do dhikr. And then I'm going to go to work, run my shop business, everything. When the evening comes, I'll eat, drink. The ni'mah Allah has given me first class, eat, drink. Go in the evening to my sheikh's company, do dhikr, and I'll come back. That's it. Mujahid has been done. Such a small thing. And you're afraid of Jannah. Allah Ta'ala, He is saving you from qiyamah. And we can't even do this small action. And this is our destiny and fortune. The Hazrat Sahib from so far used to go to meet his sheikh. And you, if you come from Liverpool, that's nothing. From Liverpool, subhanAllah. You're from Blackburn, that's nothing. It's nothing. And from here, if you have to come locally, that's nothing at all. I've just given you the example. Hungry, no clothes, no food. And the night to arrive, Hazrat Sahib said, at night we used to arrive. Hazrat Sahib used to arrive, the food had ended, he used to sleep hungry, but in the morning, it was Thursday night, then he was fresh in the morning. I'll do ziyarah of my sheikh in the morning and do dhikr of Allah on Friday morning. What great people they were, my friends. Tell me what great people they must have been. And then they said at that time, that we used to get a dry piece of chapati and milk. And what chapati was that? From the wheat, that Qureshi Sabram Dalalay, the sheikh would grind that corn and make that flour with the dhikr of Allah. And he said that, subhanAllah, the barakah of dhikr for my fakirs, my devotees, this barakah of dhikr, that I grind this corn. So Allah Ta'ala then makes the soil soft to me. So he used to cut the wheat, the corn, and those Nurani women folk, Hazrat Sahib's women folk, the Zakiras, the Shakiras. Yeah, they weren't drama players. Zakiras, the Shakiras, they used to grind that corn. So Hazrat Sahib, Fazalul Quraishim, used to cut that corn. Yes, the crop, and then the women folk of the house used to grind that into flour, make the chapatis and the vegetables. And the evening, the dervish, those who used to come on Thursday night to learn dhikr of Allah, who were great kutubs, abdals, ghous, those people became. Hazrat Fazal Ali Quraysh rahmatullahi's connection and company, I'm talking about this gathering. That today in Medina, Jannatul Baqi, so many people are laying in the graves. Hazrat Abdul Ghafur Madani Sahib, what name shall I tell you? In Baqi go, and you'll see the students of Fazal Quraysh. I'll point to you, this is his grave, this is his grave, this is his grave. Hazrat Sahib, my Shaykh is himself. These are those people who ate those chapatis, and where did they arrive to? Why? Because the person who who harvested that wheat, that corn was a zakir, and he cut it down, and the zakirahs, they grinded that into flour and they cooked it, and the person who presented was a zakir, and the ones who ate it were zakir. So he said, with half a chapati your stomach would be full. With half a chapati your stomach would be full. Soon as morning time came, after Thursday night we do dhikr, we'd be free from Thursday night, that we'd get that food in the night, in the morning time, then we'd go back to our destinations, back to our villages and towns. 2 days it take to go back again to the town. Imagine those personalities, how the dhikr of Allah, how they learnt it, the struggle and the toiling, and they prescribed to me afterwards. Hazrat Sahib, my Sheikh, one statement of his I'll share with you, present to you. Babu, Hazrat Sahib said, Babu, the example, do you want this? Do you desire that Allah and His Rasul's muhabbat, the love comes into your heart? He's asking us, do you want it? My Shaykh asked us, that Allah and His Rasul, their love, this is not some minor thing. The love, Allah and His Rasul's muhabbat, this is not some minor thing, that you attain this love. Yes, imagine how desperate those people be who have that love. The ashiks, the person who's fallen in love with a woman, he doesn't fall asleep. Then imagine the person who loves Allah and His Rasul, will he fall asleep in the night? Eh? My Shaykh is asking that, do you want this? Allah and His Rasul, their love is in your heart. Do you want this? Yeah, do you want this? That your sins are eliminated? Yes, yes, we want this. Do you want that the world, the wretchedness of the world, it ends and eliminated from your heart? Yes, we want this. Do you want, as I said, that your desire towards good deeds, that you have the passion? Yes, I will show you his writing. In writing, he said this. We said, Hazrat, please, we put our hands together, we plead, we want this, what you're saying. Then Hazrat Sahib said to them, why don't you do the dhikr of Allah? Subhanallah. The ghost of his time is guaranteeing, because he had the guarantee from behind him, in the chain. He's giving the guarantee. Yes? Yeah? He said it. Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the guarantee has come from Rasul Arabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. I give you the guarantee now, that if you don't get this from dhikr, then come and grab Ali Murtaza, he said. Then come and ask. And complain. Tell me. So will we do dhikr? Yes, I've worked hard and to explain, because this is how big the gathering should be in the morning as well. Tomorrow is Jummah. Wherever you've come from, love has aroused in our heart. Dhikr is a great deed. When we get success, how will we get it? Through what? Well, I've got this sin, I've got this lacking in me. Don't worry for anything. Take all of dhikr. Inshallah, before dying, you will complete yourselves. Yes, don't look at these sins before, I'll have to eliminate them first. Then, oh, that woman, I have a connection with her. That person's money I've eaten, I have to get rid of that first. Look, don't be deceived. Allah Ta'ala says that don't be ashamed of me. Doesn't matter how many sins you've performed, come to me. Yes, you can be ashamed of your father, mother, society, but come to me naked, I will hide you, I will put you behind the veil. Because I'm Sattar. Is this not Allah Ta'ala's attribute? Sattar. This is, come to me naked, full of the sins, bear yourself. Allah says, I'll hide you from God. No, no, no. Mother won't hide you. No, 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 no. He's my friend. Allah says, he hasn't sinned. He hasn't sinned. No, no, no. He's not committed any sin. Subhanallah. Subhanallah. Say Subhanallah. Great Allah is Kareem. Merciful. So don't think this, oh, this sin, I'll eliminate this first. I'll stop doing this sin first. Then I'll go towards the good. No, Allah says, I have no link with this. Come to me at least. Come to me. Come to me. I'll eliminate all of the wrongs. Don't worry, Allah says. So on this, don't be afraid, deceived, oh, I've committed these sins, I have to get rid of them. Doesn't matter, Allah says, you practice, Allah says, I'm Sattar, I'll hide them and I'll give you reward as well on top of that. So to meet Allah, there's only one way. Allah says, to meet me, there's only one tariqah. What is that? Dhikrullah, about which Allah says, Fadhkuruni adhkurkum. You remember me, come to me, and my rahmah will overtake you, Allah says. That's it, end of story. Straightforward prescription. Don't leave dhikr. Morning, evening, be consistent, steadfast, okay? And the sins, don't worry, I have to leave these sins, shun them, then I'll come. No, just make a niyyah. Inshallah. When I die, then I'll die in that maqam that Allah has promised for the dhakireen, that is, I will die. Yes, because I'm steadfast. Allah has promised in the Quran. Yes, if you're forced to do wrong, or there's illness, some difficulties, ups and downs occur, you can't open your eyes, even that's forgiven. Mahasa Sahib said, even that is forgiven, and your attendance will be recorded. Subhanallah. Your attendance will be recorded. Oh, he didn't arrive. I'll say, no, 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 he came, he came. They'll say, angels say, he didn't come. I'll say, no, right, he came. Oh, they'll be forced to write, he came. Yeah? He says, brothers, will you come? True promise? Okay, that's it. All I can do is do this. Brother, forget about telling you I'm speaking to myself, that I should come as well. I remind myself, you will definitely come. But personally, I'm weak, useless. I don't have anything. So I might sleep, or I might think I'm going to sleep. So do dua for afiyah. May Allah Ta'ala don't give us an illness that we put the brakes on. Because illnesses can come, can't they? There's a back pain, stomach pain, leg pain. Then a person, what can he do, the poor soul? He can't do anything. So even this, do dua. That Allah give me afiyah, well-being, health, so that we can physically arrive and attend, and we don't stop with Allah's father. Remember one thing. Today, we are in the era of sicknesses. Severe. So we make a promise to Allah, that Allah Ta'ala, apart from, if that we will not stop, despite these sicknesses. Listen to me carefully. That Allah, apart from these sicknesses, despite these sicknesses, we will not stop, we'll come. That Allah says, this is your promise? Then I will not let the sickness come to you. Say, Subhanallah. Subhanallah. Very few people are sick. Even if he's sick, just a little bit, but he arrives to dhikr. He arrives to dhikr. So Allah says that you are so courageous, I'm your Rabb, then I won't let the sickness come to you. He'll come to dhikr. So such people who are regular in dhikr, then very few, very seldom do they get affected by sickness. If they do, it's just very light, just for promotion. Allah says, oh look, I've given you sickness, you're tired, sit down for a while, just rest. And Allah gives the injection, then Allah gives the full reward at that time. He's got high fever, temperature, flu. Allah, just understand, Allah's giving him rest, some respite. Allah's saying himself, though, just stop there for a while and just recover. Otherwise, that Allah Ta'ala doesn't make that person sick. Many people, example, I've got migraine, etc. Alhamdulillah, I started dhikr, didn't even know where the migraine went. Many instances like that have been in front of me. Yes, because nothing's in control of the human being. Yes, a person, he is healthy. That time. So Allah Ta'ala, for example, Allah's given release, the corona will go, sicknesses will go, all of this. So who brings this? Allah. He brings the ease. Allah brings all of the ease away from the hardship. So Allah Ta'ala give all to all of us the tawfiq abilities that we can do amal on these points, recite the Sharif.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين شفيع المرسلين طه وياسين الحبيب الأمين اللهم صل على سيدنا مولانا محمد النبي الأمي وزواجه أمهات المؤمنين ذرياته وأهل بيته كما صليت على آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد وسلم تسليما دائما أبدا كثيرا كثيرا اے میرے مولا تو اپنے فضل و کرم سے میرے مولا ہماری اس مجلس کو قبول فرما ہماری حاضری کو قبول فرما اے میرے مولا تیری بارگاہ اقدس میں تمام گناہوں کے ساتھ لجوجوں کے ساتھ خطاؤں کے ساتھ یا اللہ ہاتھ پھیلائے ہوئے التجا فرما اے میرے مولا تو ہمارے گناہوں کو معاف فرما دے یا اللہ ہم سب کی بخشش فرما دے یا اللہ ہم عذاب قبر سے بچا لے عذاب جہنم سے بچا لے یا اللہ قیامت کی ہولناکیوں سے بچا لے نیک کرنے عمل کرنے کی توفیق نصیب فرما یا اللہ وقت کو ضائع کرنے سے بچا لے اے میرے مولا جو صحت اور عافیت نے دیے میرے مولا اس کو صحیح طریقے سے استعمال کرنے کی توفیق نصیب فرما اچھے اعمال کرنے کی توفیق نصیب فرما گناہوں سے بچنے کی توفیق نصیب فرما اے میرے مولا جو تو نے ہم سنوائے میرے مولا اس پہ عمل کرنے کی توفیق نصیب فرما یا اللہ اچھی مجلس میں جانے کی توفیق نصیب فرما یا اللہ ہر برائی سے ہر مصیبت سے ہر پریشانی سے ہر بیماری سے ناگہانی مصیبتوں سے ناگہانی پریشانیوں سے میرا ہمیں ہمارے گھر والوں کو ان کی اولادوں کو ساری اولادوں کو پوری امت کو میرے مولا تو بچا لے تو حفاظت فرما میرے مولا یا اللہ ہر فتنے سے ہمیں بچا یا اللہ ہر فتنے سے ہمیں بچا ہماری ایمان کی حفاظت فرما یا اللہ ہماری ایمانوں کی حفاظت فرما یا اللہ ہمارے اولادوں کی ایمان کی حفاظت فرما پوری امت کے ایمانوں کی حفاظت فرما یا رحم الرحیم یا کرم کریم اس فضل سے ہمیں یا اللہ ذکر فکر کی توفیق نصیب فرما ہمارے ماں باپ کی بخشش فرما جن حضرات نے دعاؤں کے لیے کہا ہے اور جن حاضرات نے دعاؤں کے لیے کہا ہے میرے مولا ان کے حق میں دعاؤں کو قبول فرما بیماروں کو شفا نصیب فرما جن کے کام اٹکے ہیں میرے مولا ان کاموں کو پورا فرما دے یا اللہ جو پریشان حال ان کی پریشانی کو دور فرما دے جن کے گھروں میں میرے مولا برکت نہیں ان کے گھروں میں برکت نصیب فرما لڑائیوں کو جھگڑوں کو دور فرما یا اللہ آپس میں محبت اتفاق پیدا فرما یا رحم الرحیمین یا رحم الرحیمین دین کا ماحول پیدا فرما دے نمازوں کا میرے مولا ماحول پیدا فرما دے تلاوت قرآن کا ماحول پیدا فرما دے علم حاصل کرنے کا میرے مولا ماحول پیدا فرما یا رحم الرحیم اپنے فضل کر سے اپنے رحم سے اپنے کرم سے ہمیں شیطانوں سے بچا یا اللہ دشمنوں سے بچا حاسدوں سے بچاؤ, منافقوں سے بچاؤ, اے میرے مولا شر پیدا کرنے والوں سے بچاؤ. صلی اللہ تعالیٰ علی خیر خلقہ محمد وعلی صحبہ اجمعین برحمتک یا ارحم الراحمین. سبحان ربک رب العزت عما یصفون, وسلام علی المرسلین, والحمد للہ.